Last year has been filled with grief and groaning, with loss and loneliness, with darkness and doubt. Perhaps like Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus died, you and I have come to Jesus a time or two with the words, "Lord, if only you would have been there, this would not have happened." If only. This last year has been filled with if onlys. But we don't have to stop at if only. There's also what if. What if are the words of Easter? They are the words of hope and expectancy. What if it's true? What if he is the resurrection and the life? What if the empty tomb is overflowing with hope? What if resurrection power has been let loose in the world? What if the turn of the page has already come? What if he is our resurrection champion? But it turns out that what ifs are little more than wishes and dreams until they are gripped by the even if. Even if I'm the only one. Even if life has led me to the graveyard. Even if I think I know better. If you say so, Jesus, I will do it. Even if is the passionate commitment that we need to move into the next chapter. When Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life," he's really asking, do you trust me? In the midst of the mess and the loss, in the midst of racism, shootings, political turmoil, in the midst of COVID-19, divorce, depression, and despair, Jesus asks us, do you trust that right now, at this moment, I am your champion?
Hello, welcome to Calvary. If you don't know me, my name is Jorn, and periodically I pinch hit for Pastor Dan. If you're new, let me greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus and tell you we are grateful you've chosen to join us. I also want to say happy Father's Day weekend and trust that you are being celebrated as dads. This is the last message of a series we've entitled, What If? For many of us who are part of the movement of Calvary, we've jumped ship per se and are doing our best to move in a new direction, away from old paradigms of church and discipleship to learning how to be what we call Jesus apprentices. One area we have focused on is being present in our neighborhoods by choosing the fourth Sunday of each month not to gather together, but to pray and to serve our neighbors and invite them into our lives. We call it CWOW Weekend, a church without walls. This idea comes from a quote we are consistently using with the hope it will be integrated into our DNA in the years to come. It's this: we're more committed to scatter than to gather. Jesus said this, "Go into the world and make disciples." Our What If series has challenged us to move out into the world and believe God is doing a new thing, which is not really a new thing, but more of a forgotten thing that now we are remembering. We are positioning ourselves to make an eternal difference in the world by loving Jesus and loving our neighbor. With that in mind, next Sunday is what I call the rubber meets the road. That weekend culminates in the first 3 months of being a Jesus apprentice. We've been asked to invite our neighbors, invite them into our homes, our families, our activities, our church life, but ultimately to come along and be a Jesus apprentice like ourselves. It's seeing our good works of praying and serving result in divine connections so we can share our faith and why Jesus is actually worth living for. I want you to know as I head into my message, Dan has reminded us multiple times over the last year, loving our neighbor is not an ulterior motive, but it is our ultimate motive. With that in mind, let me ask you a question. How are you doing in loving your neighbors? Are you sensing an expectation of the Holy Spirit opening doors? Or are you stuck, frustrated, and even fearful of the unknown? Have you decided you're not sure you're cut out for this Jesus apprenticeship stuff? Or maybe you're waiting to see if this is really going to work. I want you to know wherever you've landed, let me encourage you. God wants to partner with you. Yes, you. He has a plan, and you're included. But maybe it's different, like our series mantra, what if it's different? What if the way you've been apprenticing needs to change? What if you've forgotten our emphasis and need reminded of the power of God to use all of us for His glory? What if we're narrow-minded and full of assumptions with need confronted with a renewed view of Jesus? My hope today is to be able to help you to see that. I believe we need to see ourselves from this point of view. Being different, doing things different, is actually the norm of Christianity compared to the way the world does things. Let me remind you of some verses that I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to open our hearts to potentially help us to see Christ and correct our course if need be. It says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.' Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength." Let me pray. Father, would you just, in this next few minutes, open our hearts to hear from you through Jesus. Remind us that we all have the ability and the potential to follow you wholeheartedly, to be good apprentices, to be led by your Spirit, to love like you love, serve like you serve, and to be who you've created us to be. So we agree with your word this morning as we move forward, that our hearts need to be challenged, confronted, and encouraged, and we ask that you will help us all, even myself as I share, to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So what if different meant never forgetting the cross? See, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The Apostle Paul wrote these words because the Corinthians had gotten off track. They'd lost their way. Their pride, their arrogance had gotten in front of them. They began to forget all that Jesus really should have been to them, and they began to de-emphasize the work of the cross in their lives. He needed to remind them as well as ourselves, our primary motive and objective is love, coming from the power of sacrifice. Paul was saying different meant never assuming anyone could advance the gospel or the kingdom from their own abilities, that foolishness would always be a part of doing things God's way. Maybe foolish actually means different. Maybe it means we need to get on a different plane. The old ways are not the new ways. Maybe foolish means risking for the sake of people who are far away from God. May I suggest the commandments we find in the cross creates a vulnerability we need to embrace. There are sects of Christianity, and always have been, that by their actions believe the cross can be avoided and actually deconstructed. There are progressive views that in the subtle ways want to avoid the harshness and the foolishness of the cross. That individuals can be good and do good and love their neighbors without the cross of Christ. Let's admit it. If we could avoid the cross and the personal humiliation we must face to embrace it, I'll be honest, I would, and probably you would too. May I also say, the cross is not a one and done event. We go to the cross and we carry the cross as a sign of our affection, not only towards God, but towards our fellow man. The linchpin of all we do is only found in the cross of Christ. His death, his shed blood means his way or no way. I think sometimes we're struggling with living out the greatest command because we've lost sight of the cross And that means that we have to be different. As I've been working on this message, I was reminded of the new series about Jesus and his disciples called The Chosen. One of the areas that impacted me the most was the director taking license with the character development, and especially the character of Matthew. As I watched his character, I thought to myself, is it my imagination, or does it seem a little different? Does he seem a little different? The more I watched, the more I realized that they were portraying him as possibly having some autistic tendencies. And I felt myself gravitating towards him more than any of the other characters. And again, I thought, this is brilliant. It has given me a fresh perspective on how many preconceived ideas I have about what kind of people Jesus calls to himself and how he actually will use them. What Jesus had in mind when he called myself to follow him is the same as you, that we are different. Of course, there have to be people out there who've written and pushed back on the director's approach, saying he didn't have the right and the accuracy was now tainted. But isn't that exactly what God does? He confounds and he confuses. He takes what looks foolish and even impractical and reveals Jesus through it. Jesus' cross empowers us to see the what-ifs as a place to make a difference and to love our neighbors well. What if God needs to deal with our assumptions? If we're honest, I think we all think we know something. We think we know ourselves, know how God works, know what our strengths and weaknesses are. We know our potential and capabilities. And when I say this, it's meant as a slight because we've already decided what we can and cannot do. We assume our neighbors aren't interested in having a relationship with us. Or they are going to ask me a question I can't answer. Or the myriad of other excuses we come up with. When summer comes, I usually go for a walk each morning. And many of those mornings, I'm praying and praying for my neighbors. There's something about going by the homes that I'm praying for and realizing how much I don't really know about their lives. Or because of a certain interaction I've had with them, I've assumed that they've missed Jesus' hit list, per se. How foolish of ourselves to ever assume God isn't working in the hearts of people that I'm praying for. How foolish we are to think the power of the cross is sufficient to save you and me, but actually it's not sufficient to save others. It's false wisdom / ignorance, not godly wisdom, to remove myself from the salvation equation in relationship to Jesus' objective to move whatever hindrances and stumbling blocks lie before me. Yet at the same time, I need to be humble enough to see the lack and believe for more. Because what if we need more? Paul is not only addressing our forgetfulness in relationship to the cross and its power to save, but also our paradigms of how we personally believe and operate as apprentices. One area I enjoy in being a part of the movement of Calvary is the diversities and distinctions of how Jesus encounters and uses people. One of the great compliments of a church is when someone can't pigeonhole and assign a specific label or denomination. If you take the time to ask what we believe about our expression of faith, we'd say we want the best of the charismatic and the evangelical world to flow together in glorifying Christ. Now, I'll admit, like the Jews, I'm a Jew. I'm through and through a mystic. If you hang around me long enough, you'll know I don't shrink back from the supernatural or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the power of God and the miraculous in regards to how God actually encounters people. I think you should consider if part of the reason you may be struggling and being an apprentice is for this reason. Yet I don't want to downplay the common graces God uses to tell our neighbors I love them by cooking a meal, baking cookies, caring for someone's children, or serving a widow in your neighborhood can just as easily open a door of opportunity to have a conversation. But I'll be honest, I'd rather preach, pray, prophesy, and skip the common grace side. But coming to State College has challenged me in my limitations, and it's motivated me to see the Greek side of intellectual reasoning. For many of you, Jesus has given you great minds, the ability to think deeply and to meet the intelligentsia community and reason together for the sake of Christ. But here's my point. What if you need more? What if you need to do it differently? To embrace the other side, to humble yourself for the sake of the cross, and be willing to admit what you have might not be enough. The cross not only confronts our limitations, but empowers our desire to be fully committed apprentices. When we lack, God is able to fill us with what we need, whether it's a supernatural gift or a common grace. God is able in that moment to say, I want to use you. So what if we have to preach? Remember I said, this is where the rubber meets the road. I wish we could just be good charismatics and pray, and suddenly Jesus is standing at the bedpost of our neighbor in the middle of the night saying, follow me. Or a warm plate of homemade chocolate chip cookies, as my friend Jake Nold would say, can save anybody. Eventually, someone is going to ask you who you are and why you're serving and loving them. Your heart begins pounding. You start to think, this is it. Are they going to reject me, become indifferent, and begin avoiding me when they see me in my front yard and just naturally cross the street on the other side? Okay, everyone, let's just take a deep breath and relax for a second. One of my passions is to help people see how they're shaped for the gospel. Eventually, you'll need to become foolish and actually say the name of Jesus. You'll need to talk about him. All that we do brings us to the threshold of sharing the gospel. And no matter what, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, that is unavoidable. Yet the Holy Spirit also knows how you best fit into his plans. Only a few have the ability to walk into a group of people or stand before a crowd and begin preaching. But what if we removed the stigma of the word preaching and you replaced it with sharing? Like you shared your heart and life with your neighbors. Now you want to share your love for God. Can I be a little bit more charismatic right now and give you a prophetic word? It's only one word, but you need to hear it. Are you ready? Relax. If you love your neighbor, then he's going to give you the words to say. Listen, no one has ever come to me after praying, loving, and serving their neighbors consistently and said, shared the gospel, and they completely rejected me. I don't want to be friends with them. I don't want to be involved in their lives. Matter of fact, they told me, I wish I never took those homemade chocolate chip cookies. Not once. Not once. We're not talking about cold call evangelism to complete strangers. We're talking about living out what we believe in a consistent manner that leads to sharing your love for Jesus and your love for your neighbor. If you need help with this, let us know. Let me know. I'd love to encourage you. So what if different makes the difference? What if the power of Christ is able to do more than we ever thought could be done? So here's the question for all of us. What limitations does Jesus need to help you with? There is a promise here in these verses. Jesus is able to supersede all limitations, all our limitations, whatever is in the way, whatever we are fearful of, whatever we're afraid of, he is able to supersede that. Because God is not relying on my power or your power to love my neighbor and to bring them into the kingdom of God. Where have you trusted in your strengths versus God's? Where has the frustration mounted in seeing transformation come in your neighborhood? Where has pride and fear held you back from finding peace as a Jesus apprentice? See, the promise is in Christ. Take some time to consider the power of the cross. See what Jesus has done in saving you, so you can be a part of saving others. Let the Holy Spirit show you how much power and potential you have in being different. Don't be afraid to be different. Don't be afraid to risk. It's where the cross comes alive again for you and I. Here's a few takeaways as you move forward in the what ifs. Inviting people into your life equates to inviting people to know Jesus. Maximize all that God has in using you for his glory. Humbly ask to be stretched in areas of your life so Christ can be seen through you. Second area, learn the difference between common grace and supernatural grace. Reach for more of Christ and his power, and ask the Holy Spirit to do it differently. Lastly, have the hope of preaching. Practice sharing your story and the gospel with someone that you know. Take the opportunities that God has laid before you. Next week is going to be a great week for us as a movement. Whether you are local here at State College, you're somewhere in the United States and you've been connecting with us online, whether you're somewhere around the world, would you just take a second to think about how God wants to use you in a different way? Because the what ifs that God has in store for us are usually never surrounded by how we think it's going to work out. We need to be open. And the next week, ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that you can be who God needs you to be in the moment as you invite people into your lives.